invited to pull up a chair on Lisa Harper's Back Porch, where faith meets real life. Welcome to Back Porch Theology. Each episode helps you dive deeper into God's Word and discover that the gospel isn't just good news for eternity. It's great news for everyday life, because God is for you, and He's always been restoring our value and drawing us closer to Him. With honest conversations, a few laughs, and guests ranging from close friends to brilliant theologians, Back Porch Theology is thoughtful, meaningful, and never stuffy. So grab some coffee or sweet tea and join Lisa Harper on Back Porch Theology. Subscribe now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes, and welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hope you're having a great day. It is going to be jam-packed State of the Union tonight. But I am not here. Today, I am on my way to Houston, where I'll be talking to great Republican ladies and also visiting with our terrific affiliate, Patriot Talk 920 in Houston. In the meantime, today, you're going to be blessed. We've got our good friend Andy Hoosier from The Big Talker in Wichita, KQAM, our affiliate in the heartland. And Andy's going to do a great job today, bringing us up to speed on what's happening, and also, of course, the big State of the Union address tonight in Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, Andy Hoosier.
Wow. Wow, it's official. That's wild. Thank you, Todd, very much. It's great to be able to fill in for the seat today on the Todd Starnes radio program, and he's traveling about doing his thing, and man, what an honor. We got the official intro from Todd Starnes himself for the program, so thank you for that, Todd, very much, and it's so great to be able to sit in for the seat today. Welcome into it, the Todd Starnes radio program, and we are calling this, Dylan, you're more than welcome to chime in whenever you want to on this one. We are deeming the program today the State of the Union Pregame Show 2026. God, I'm telling you, this is going to be a big one. I'm excited. We have a lot to line up today. Plenty of policy to talk about, but obviously the breakdown of the State of the Union. What could it look like this year? Because it is not only the, what, fourth, fifth? Did Donald Trump do a State of the Union last year? I guess he did. I mean, he just got sworn into office, so maybe not. So let's just say that this is at least his fifth one after his first administration, but more than that, it is the 250th birthday of the nation this year, and I think that that deserves the most patriotic State of the Union address that we have ever heard, and I cannot wait for it. So welcome into it, and I want to hear from you. 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. As Todd so graciously mentioned, moving the Liberty University studios out here to Wichita, Kansas, on the Big Talker KQAM, my flagship station, and a great affiliate of these Todd Starnes radio program. What the heck can we expect for the address tonight? I find it probably the most ironic and probably the best example of where we're at in American politics today. When we had the 250th birthday of the nation, according to Caroline Leavitt this morning, she said that we're expecting to shed a few tears with the State of the Union tonight, and that Democrats are now protesting this with many not even showing up. The last count that I've heard, a total of 30 in general, which is absolutely insane. But Caroline Leavitt said she's excited for what we're going to hear tonight.
He is going to share the stories of great American heroes who exemplify bravery and the spirit of 1776. And the president is, of course, going to tout his administration's record-setting accomplishments over the past year while laying out an ambitious agenda to continue making the American dream more attainable and affordable for working-class people across the country. It's going to be a great speech. There will be some tear-jerking moments, as there was last year, in addition to some moments of levity, and so we hope everybody will tune in.
That's really cool. I'm excited for this one, man. It is going to be, as Donald Trump would say, bigly and super exciting, because, I mean, look, not only do we have the patriotic mindset, which, look, that is a perfect way to go into a midterm season. Talk about patriotism, talk about the nation, talk about the history of the nation, and talk about where we're moving forward. And again, the major cultural divide in society doesn't allow the other side of the aisle to accept it, to enjoy that, to relish in patriotism and love for country, which I find really kind of strange. So I ask you the question today, 901-260-5926 on the Todd Starnes radio program. What are the trigger words? And if you are playing a game tonight for the State of the Union address, maybe a drinking game of an adult beverage or maybe your favorite sweet tea, which I know that's Dylan, do you think that's what Todd's drinking tonight for the State of the Union?
Absolutely,
sweet tea?
Absolutely, yeah, sweet tea. That's the beverage of choice.
That's the beverage of choice. So he's going to take a shot of sweet tea every time that they say a particular word. So what are the big words that you can expect Donald Trump to say tonight? I'm guessing affordability, maybe. I mean, Democrats kind of dropped that one after Donald Trump addressed the affordability issue back in December. So that's kind of funny. Golden Age of America, fake news, Supreme Court, tariffs. There's a lot that he's going to discuss tonight, but what are those trigger words where if you are playing that game, that drinking game of sweet tea or other things, then what could be potentially included in that one? First and foremost, we have the stage that's being set for a midterm election that I think is going to be very tough, and I'll just be very frank and honest, very tough for Republicans. Now, the fundraising for the RNC compared to the DNC is night and day, so maybe it won't be as bad as what I'm thinking. I'm an eternal optimist. I am optimistic that we could do very well this year, but this is what sets that stage on the action of Republicans and the action of Congress. And in fact, I really hope the State of the Union tonight really has President Donald Trump calling out Republicans in Congress to actually, well, do something. We gave, and you got to go back a little bit, remember the first Trump administration when Republicans said we have to have the House so we can stop Obama. Okay, cool, we gave them the House. Then they're like, well, we got to have the Senate too. We have to have both chambers of Congress so we can stop Obama. Cool, we gave them the House, we gave them the Senate. Then the presidential race came up and we're like, well, we have to have the presidency and Congress to where we can actually get things done. And we gave it to them all the way back when, 2015, we gave the presidency and the House and the Senate. And what happened? We had Republicans that were fighting against the Trump administration. We had John McCain, the my French, the straight talk express. Remember that when he was in there that wanted to spite Donald Trump beyond all belief. And even with his brain cancer, rest his soul, he flew all the way to Washington, D.C., rolled down the chamber floor there and ended up voting against repealing of Obamacare. That was the mindset of the Republican Party, and it took us a long time to purge the Republican Party of that type of insanity, wanting to spite Donald Trump even amongst our own party. And what was the result of that? As a conservative, as a Republican voter, what was the result of that type of behavior? We lost it all. By the midterm election under the first Trump administration, we lost the majorities in Congress, and it was a stagnation. We saw two impeachments against President Donald Trump. We saw the quote-unquote investigations against Donald Trump. We saw the Democrats take hold and do everything they can to stagnate, stop, and reverse the entire Trump agenda because we lost trust. Republicans didn't do what they said they were going to do. Now we're almost in the same boat. Show of hands, how many people know how many bills that Congress has actually codified under the Trump administration? It's not very many. I mean, we did pass the One Big Beautiful Bill. That was pretty exciting. But outside of that, what else have we done? We are still in a semi-quasi-government shutdown right now, which is pretty unfortunate, with funding for the Department of Homeland Security, which we'll talk about a little bit later on the program. But what else have we done? We can't codify the Trump agenda. We're sitting on the SAVE Act right now that's passed the House twice now, sitting in the Senate, and they're like, well, we just don't have the votes to do it with the filibuster. We got to force the filibuster, which, again, we'll talk about in just a little bit. So I'm curious on how much of the State of the Union that President Trump will call on Republicans to either end the filibuster in the Senate or force Democrats to utilize the filibuster so that way we can use it for a political tool going into midterm season. We have the affordability issue, which, I mean, to be fair, we're getting better. And I think if, well, aside from the whole Supreme Court thing from last week with the tariffs, that right now we're on the right trajectory. We saw just for the month of January, we saw the lowest inflation that we've seen since the last Trump administration in March of 2021, the residual when Trump had just left office, when it was still his economy. We haven't seen inflation that low since that time with the Trump administration 1.0. We have wage growth that's coming up. We have job growth that's happening right now. All of it because of the tariff policy that's been implemented from the Trump administration. Now, people can say that tariffs aren't necessarily a good thing, but they've worked. They've transitioned the economy away from what we've done in the past. All of the job growth that we've seen under the Trump administration year number one has been private sector growth. And we're getting rid of the public sector. And I see that all as good news. So Donald Trump is going to showcase his victories tonight. And I really hope he does that and is able to tie that in to a historical reference of how great this nation is, not because of government, but in spite of government. And I tell you what, as a bleeding heart conservative that enjoys watching the direction that we're going as a with the Trump administration, if Donald Trump's able to talk about the growth and success and the beauty of this nation, not because of government, but in spite of government, that will have me rolling on the ground tearful. Right, Dylan? I mean, that's a sight everybody wants to see on YouTube, right? That's a viral YouTube video right there, me rolling around on the ground all tearful because of that kind of comment.
Yeah, I'd like to see that, actually.
Yeah. That's right. We'll have to work on that one. Maybe the wife will be videotaping it tonight. But look, I mean, Donald Trump has a good, for the golden era that we're going into, we have a golden opportunity. The stars have aligned, and we can now present the case for what conservatism is and what we can expect with this State of the Union address. The foreign policy, the economy, the potential issue with Iran, the military-industrial complex going crazy. It's all going to be showcased tonight while the Democrats are out there throwing a hissy fit about it. And we'll break that down in just a minute because I find that kind of interesting. But I want your thoughts on this. What are you expecting tonight? And what are the trigger words that you're expecting that you can play the game with today? 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier sitting in today for the pregame of the State of the Union 2026. Plenty to break down today. Lots coming up. Stay here.
Losing weight's getting harder and harder as you get older, and it's not your fault. You're eating better, you're moving more, but your body isn't responding anymore. The harder you try, the less progress you see. And I am just like you. I've been dealing with this, and recently I made the call to PhD Weight Loss, and it's changing everything. I've been on the program for a week now, already dropped 3 pounds. Feel better than ever. PhD Weight Loss, they help people identify what's actually blocking fat loss, and they fix the root cause. And it isn't as simple as counting calories. Your body is much more complicated than that. If you want to understand why your body isn't cooperating, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Fix My Weight Loss to unlock our New Year's special. Book your consultation. It's free. It's personalized. And it could explain everything. Call 864-644-1900 and say Fix My Weight Loss. That's 864-644-1900. Or visit myphdweightloss.com. Tell them Todd sent you.
Welcome back to it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier sitting in today. Great to have you for a, we're calling it the pregame for the State of the Union 2026. What can we expect going into the State of the Union tonight? It's going to be a bigly one. President Donald Trump excited, the 250th birthday of the nation, and some certain trigger words that you could be playing with your drinking game of the night. By drinking game, I mean sweet tea. Sweet tea. That's what we're going for. Sweet tea shots tonight where you can enjoy what Donald Trump may say. I saw a couple comments on social media over the break. Affordability is obviously was past tense the trigger word for the media. Everybody, look, here's the thing. The media, the DNC, they had their talking points, and it trickles down to the candidates. It trickles down to the elected officials, and they wanted to rail on it. Affordability, affordability, affordability. That's what got Zohran Mamdani. That's what got him elected in that seat for New York City. And how well is that working out? Republican platform has been pretty much Operation Let Them Speak. Was that Senator John Kennedy that came up with that idea, the Operation Let Them Speak? Because it works. In AOC, it's been working really well. For Mamdani, it's been working really well. And they've coincidentally gotten rid of and away from the idea of affordability. Why? Because, well, first off, it's obvious for us here on the other side of the aisle, the right side of the aisle, that when you want to look at affordability, we had a Biden administration who created a 30% inflation cumulative over a 4-year period during his administration. Again, looking at interest rates or inflation rates for the month of January, lowest that they were since the end of the Trump admin 1.0. And then everything started skyrocketing. And by like really increasing, I mean, we were seeing 6, 7, 8, 9% inflation rates on a year-to-year basis for a month, which is absolutely insane. So, yeah, we have a lot of problems that we have to get through. And they're not going away. I mean, the inflation's not going back down. If we see deflation in society, everybody says that's really bad and we're going to see some kind of bubble burst or a collapse of society or something. So what we have to do is get wages up to be able to match that and actually get the economy back on track. So they really kind of dropped the idea of affordability. At the same time, when we have record number of investments, record number of revenue, the trade policy bringing in revenue, wages that are going up right now. Without, by the way, and I want to clarify this and really emphasize the fact that wages are going up without the unions. That is a big point that we should probably emphasize. Unions have not done a whole lot. I mean, we need natural growth of wages, not the artificial inflation of wages that actually screw up the economy because they throw the wrench in the system and say, we want to work 30 hours a week at $100 an hour and nothing more beyond that, and to heck with the business if they start losing money. Like, that doesn't work. That's not feasible. That's not realistic. It's what we hear from unions, which is why I'm not a big fan of unions in any way, shape, or form. But Donald Trump's going to talk about affordability and the golden age of America that's around the corner, because Democrats have not been able to talk about that. And if they want to try and talk about affordability, they probably need to look in the mirror and look at their own numbers. I want to go for just a moment to the fundraising numbers as we look at a little bit further out for the midterm elections of 2026. The Republican National Committee has recently made an announcement on their fundraising goals, where they're at fundraising right now, where as of the report in July of 2025, ahead of the midterm performances, so it's even more so than right now, that the Republican National Committee was reporting raising $172 million, and that was as of July of last year. That number obviously has gone up since then, 6 months later, 8 months later, as we go into actual beginning of that election season. The Democrat National Committee, on the other hand, remember that number, $170+ million. Going into this one, they had roughly $70 million. But in order to get that $70 million, they've had to take on multiple different loans as a party to go into special election from last year and then get them set up for this year. So if you want to talk affordability, maybe you should, I don't know, take a Dave Ramsey class and actually take some affordability classes on how to run your own finances, because as a Democrat party right now, you're in shambles. And you can talk about the platform, the leadership, who's actually there. I mean, you don't have it. In Operation Let Them Speak is very telling, where at least 30 Democrats are going to be protesting the State of the Union tonight while we talk about the greatness of this nation. And they talk about their ideas for foreign policy, which they don't have any. And they talk about the economy, which they don't have any plans. They talk about social programs, which I guess that's all they have, is identity politics and social issues. But that's not popular with the American people. They can't even talk about the SAVE Act when 78% of Democrats actually support that idea as well. So no wonder why they don't want to show up, because they have nothing to offer. Their only offering they have is they hate Donald Trump. And as we mentioned in the last segment, that if they do get the majority in Congress, then they're going to do nothing more than repeal Donald Trump's agenda, try to impeach all of his different cabinet members, and try to push impeachment for Donald Trump himself. The same thing as what we saw after the midterms and first term of Donald Trump back in, 2018? And that's not what we can have. So Republicans got to get on board. I mean, Donald Trump, again, you really need to focus on putting pressure on Republicans to get things done, whether it's ending the filibuster in the Senate or whether it's forcing Democrats to actually utilize the filibuster to show how out of touch they actually are, even when right now we have a partial government shutdown. And no one's talking about, when was the last time the media actually talked about the government shutdown right now? Department of Homeland Security, TSA that's going on, and border security, and the ICE agents, all of them working pro bono right now until they get their furloughed money back and we can actually get things back on track. And Hakeem Jeffries, all these guys are just like, well, Republicans are refusing to cooperate. Which, to be fair, Republicans allowed the scenario to happen in the first place by splitting Department of Homeland Security funding. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. We still have to ram it through. And Democrats are so out of touch that they've taken it to an entirely different level. So affordability, foreign policy, maybe we could see some comments about the civil war going on down in Mexico, which I do want to cover in a bit. Donald Trump's policies making that possible. Can you imagine for just a moment the Western Hemisphere, with Nicolas Maduro that we've already captured, with the pressure that we're putting on Cuba, and with the cartels that have been deemed as international terrorist organizations that are being forced by Donald Trump to the Mexican government to address these issues, boiling it all to the surface and making our Western Hemisphere just a little bit safer, are major wins for the Trump administration, and doing it at the same time, by the way, when all of the military-industrial complex, people that like long-term conflicts overseas, making all this money with private contracting, none of them are actually benefiting from this at all. Donald Trump has been able to do it diplomatically, maybe a few excursions here and there, but nothing severe, and I think that's a pretty good win for the Trump administration. So this is probably, my prediction, probably one of the biggest State of the Unions that we have seen in a very long time. And even though it's kind of losing its popularity on people paying attention to it because it's so partisan, the content that could be in this thing could be 4 hours long with Donald Trump speaking, and it's going to be kind of cool to watch. We got lots more to get to. What's happening with the Democrat protests coming up? We'll cover that, plus your phone calls right here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Stay here.
Folks, if you're looking for a romantic comedy that's actually funny, uplifting, and safe to enjoy with your family, well, this is it. Angel Studios has done something special with Solo Mio, a film that proves Hollywood can still tell a great love story without crudeness or compromise. The movie's set in beautiful Italy, stunning scenery that feels like a breath of fresh air. Kevin James delivers big laughs and real heart, and Jonathan Romy brings a surprising and delightful performance that audiences are going to love. In a world filled with nonstop bad news, it's refreshing to sit down and watch a movie that leaves you smiling. This is wholesome entertainment you can feel good about supporting. So right now, when you become a premium member of the Angel Guild, you'll receive 2 free tickets to see Solo Mio in theaters on February 6th. Grab your spouse, your sweetheart, or your family and let's support stories that celebrate humor, hope, and love. Visit angel.com/starns.com today.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program, a.k.a. the pregame show for the State of the Union speech 2026. What can you expect from that one from President Donald Trump tonight? It's going to be fun with a lot of different things to cover. Again, he could be covering 4 hours of this. And who knows? Donald Trump very well may do that. He has gone on rambles. But what's the longest? He broke the record for the longest State of the Union address, I believe. Didn't he, Dylan? I mean, that was a couple of years ago. And, man, he went on like 2 hours and 15 minutes or something. It was crazy with how he just kept going and going. I think that was the one when Nancy Pelosi just felt like ripping up the speech afterwards just because she wanted to do that in spite as well. So here's the question I have for you is the protest from the Democrats. Would you rather, we're going to play a little game of would you rather. Would you rather have Democrats be there like last time where they were holding the signs like children and I'm going to raise a sign to protest you and they did their silent protest that way? Or would you rather have them just not be there in the first place? Now, it's very telling culturally to show that where we're at in the nation, that we can't even sit there and listen to someone, even if we disagree with their policy, even if we don't like them as a human being, that we still sit there and listen. They are the president of the United States. And I think we've kind of belittled and watered down that title for a really long time, going all the way back to the Bush administration. Which, to be fair, I wasn't a huge fan of George Bush either. I mean, he was the Republican at that time. He was the Republican flavor of that time, but the times have changed. Back then, though, if you remember, that's when all this division started happening. Texas is missing its village idiot, and then we had Ward Churchill, that professor over in Boulder, Colorado, that called him a Nazi. The first time that we heard a sitting president, be called a Nazi or Hitler, and he lost his job at that time. Oh, those were the days when it was controversial to actually say something like that and you end up losing your job because it was too radical to even think of that. The Dixie Chicks back in the day, which now apparently they call themselves just the Chicks. That doesn't make any sense to me, but whatever. They're still around. I know. I didn't know that either. It's okay. But the Dixie Chicks back then, when they started saying that same kind of rhetoric and people were boycotting the Dixie Chicks and burning their CDs, not listening to them any longer because, well, of the rhetoric that they were spreading at that time. Now, fast forward to here, it is the norm. It is the typical standard talking point to call Donald Trump a Nazi and a fascist and so on and so forth, to the point to where the last government shutdown that we saw back in October, the longest government shutdown in American history, done by Democrats, they say that it was the beginning. It was we were in the transition at that time to a complete authoritarian state. That Donald Trump has now consumed all the power and that he was going to control everybody and that it was the authoritarian state because of that shutdown that Donald Trump was doing, not because those guys wanted to re-implement socialist programs that were completely out of date because the COVID-19 pandemic had ended. Wild concept. So would you rather at 901-260-5926. Would you rather see Democrats try to protest in the State of the Union, but be there because he's the president of the United States that was, by the way, elected democratically with a popular vote and the Electoral College vote? Or would you rather, hey, if you can't be a child, don't show, or if you're going to act like a child, if you can't be an adult, just don't show up at all and just go away? Because that's what's happening right now. Apparently, Hakeem Jeffries said that that's the plan for many Democrats. But right now, that number has climbed to 30 plus.
The two options that are in front of us in our House is to either attend with silent defiance.
Silent defiance. I don't know what that means.
To not attend and send a message to Donald Trump in that fashion, which will include participation in a variety of different alternate programming that is going to take place in and around the Capitol complex.
Yeah, okay. I want to break this down for just a moment. For maybe those that aren't the complete dorks like we are that focus all on politics all the time and understand the ins and outs here. For those that are wondering, why is this such a big deal for the State of the Union? Why is there so much here? This is almost like an NFL game, right? This is, and again, Dylan, correct me if I'm wrong here, this is almost like the Super Bowl, where there is so much speculation and they look at everything. There are betting odds for the colored clothes that people are going to wear as the silent protest that, according to Hakeem Jeffries, says of what they're going to do. There are betting odds for that. There are speculation on how many times that they applaud, how many times that they stand up, how many words he actually says, how long it is, what issues and how many topics he actually covers, how they do a protest. Like, there's speculation. It's like a Super Bowl game, where they break down not just the game itself and the content of the game itself, but every aspect around it as well. This is kind of a big deal for the political dorks for us, isn't it, Dylan?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you're betting money on this kind of thing, that's when you probably want to pay close attention. I think for our enjoyment, I think I would rather them be there and just silently protest, because it's kind of funny to watch them put up their little signs when Trump is, like, you know, honoring, you know, a little boy that had cancer, went through it and, like, you know, overcame something like that. They're sitting there with their little signs. You're like, okay, this is a bad look.
That was pretty cute last year. I think it was last year when they did that. So I guess Donald Trump did do one last year, and they came up and, yeah, they had their sign. There was, it was black on one side, white on the other side. And, you know, they were saying that he's a liar or he's whatever. And they would sit there and, one year, I don't think it was last year, but a couple of years ago, they wore all white for the purity and all the women wore the white, which was kind of funny in their silent protest against Donald Trump. So yeah, you're right. It's always entertaining for us on that front, but at least they showed up, and I will give them credit at that time. They show up, they throw a fit about it, but they show up because he's the president of the United States. Nowadays, I don't know that it has the same kind of impact. It should. It should when the head of the executive branch, well, again, we're going to go back to civics 101 here. Three branches of government: executive, legislative, and judicial. The executive branch is run by the president of the United States, who enforces laws and is the one who calls on Congress to hopefully do things, has an idea to kind of run the day-to-day activities of the government, kind of, sort of. That's kind of a big deal. When the president of the United States says, this is what's going on in the nation, this is the direction that I'd like to go, and Congress, help me out, and let's, you know, let's make a brother happy. Let's do this thing. And everybody, including political, non-political people, should be paying attention to something like that. But Democrats now, they're just like, nope, we despise him so much that we are going to step away and not pay attention to him whatsoever and completely disregard the State of the Union address. Look, you have your time. And the opposition party always gets the chance to do a rebuttal and a post-State of the Union address as a rebuttal from the other side. And you have more than the power, more than welcome to do that. But for Hakeem Jeffries, the minority leader of the House, to just be like, well, we're either going to sit there in silent protest or we're just not going to show up at all, I think it's a little bit distasteful. But again, on the 250th year, the most patriotic year that we're going to hear a State of the Union, at least in our lifetimes, I think, they're not just going to show up at all, really is a telltale sign. I think there needs to be some adults in the room, and I got to give a major hat tip and prop to Stephen A. Smith, who ironically is a sports commentator and has a podcast, who's calling out Democrats for doing this.
At some point in time, ladies and gentlemen, there's got to be an adult in the room. The president of the United States is going to give his State of the Union address, and the Democrats got other plans. So some are talking about walking out in the middle of his speech. Others are talking about boycotting it altogether and essentially finding something else to do. I'm here to tell you that neither is acceptable. If you're going to act as juvenile, as petulant, as petty as you accuse the president of the United States to be, How are you ever going to hold a high moral ground, at least high enough to judge him accordingly?
Boom. I mean, that probably sums up the entire statement right there. You have to act like an adult. And I think this is the difference in the young generation that's up and coming right now. The ones, and I apologize for this. I'm 37, 38, 37. I don't know. I've lost track already. I'm apparently midlife, and midlife crisis is about ready to hit me now already. But being a millennial, I apologize for the millennial generation, because my generations were some of the first ones that grew up with the participation trophy, that were never told no, that get whatever they want to, that are throwing the temper tantrums in their parents' basement, and that are probably wearing the pink hats outside or wearing the masks with Antifa or the Watch Ice or whatever else movement's going on, because they think that that's them being some type of revolutionist and, you know, freedom fighter and whatever else that they're doing. This generation is the ones where if we don't like what we hear, then we're just not going to participate at all or get violent and try to change it that way. Because if we dislike what we hear, then we're going to be the revolutionists to change it, because everybody should be thinking and saying the same thing that I want. And I think that's could be wrong. Probably a problem in society. But with Democrat. Oh, by the way, we did get breaking news here. Dylan, I don't know if you're aware or not. The breaking news is, according to the Daily Caller, a spokesperson, because she's so high profile, the spokesperson for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says that she will not be participating at Trump's State of the Union address and will not be there tonight.
Okay.
Boom.
There you go.
All right. Now we know. The leader of the free world, of the Democrat Party, at least, and I say that by default, because, of course, they put her on the Munich Security Conference. They're putting her on the global stage. She's looking at for that presidential bid of 2028. She will not be attending the State of the Union address tonight. So we will not see a protest from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I cannot speak for the rest of the squad, also known as the B squad, and you can assume what that stands for, with Ilhan Omar or Rashida Tlaib or Sharice Davids from Kansas or other Democrats, that I don't know whether they will be showing up or not, or whether they will be doing their silent protest. But if they do not like what they hear, they just won't participate. And that's a problem with society. So where do we stand? 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. The Democrats that are staging that protest, acting like the children, if that is the future of the next generation of leaders in politics, we have a serious problem. And I think we need to address that immediately. But today could be one of those most significant times. Got to take a break back after this. Andy Hoosier filling in for the Todd Starnes radio program.
You're invited to pull up a chair on Lisa Harper's Back Porch, where faith meets real life. Welcome to Back Porch Theology. Each episode helps you dive deeper into God's word and discover that the gospel isn't just good news for eternity. It's great news for everyday life, because God is for you, and he's always been restoring our value and drawing us closer to him. With honest conversations, a few laughs, and guests ranging from close friends to brilliant theologians, Back Porch Theology is thoughtful, meaningful, and never stuffy. So grab some coffee or sweet tea and join Lisa Harper on Back Porch Theology. Subscribe now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to it. Todd Starnes radio program for a Tuesday today. The pre-State of the Union Address 2026. The pregame show is right here on the program. What do you expect? 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. Probably one of the most awkward moments, and I'm kind of excited to see the awkwardness. Like you said, Dylan, I mean, the protests that are coming from the other side, I think there's even something more exciting happening tonight, and that is, of course, the stare down between Donald Trump and the Supreme Court that's going to be there. That after the statement, or after the ruling from the Supreme Court yesterday or last week on taxes. Now, to be fair, Donald Trump still has plans for tariffs. We'll talk about that in a bit, just a little bit. New tariffs being implemented as of today, and they just have to use a different statute. It's not going to go anywhere. And in fact, it actually emboldens the president even more so than before to use more tariffs at his leverage than what he had in the past using the original statute. But the awkwardness after that press conference on Thursday last week, when Donald Trump went out and said that they had foreign ties and said that they don't know the Constitution, and he just railed on these Supreme Court judges. How awkward is it going to be when they're sitting right there in the front row staring at the President of the United States? I'm kind of looking forward to that. Dylan, what do you think?
Yeah, I think so, too. I love this kind of stuff, because I'm not into politics that much. So this kind of stuff always just fascinates me, just to see how, I guess, and you were talking about it earlier, just like childish some of these people can be. But yeah, that moment's going to be epic.
That is going to be epic. Now, that is, I wonder, because I heard apparently that there was like a begrudging invitement, the inviting of the Supreme Court justices to the State of the Union. They obviously have to go. It's the three branches. That's kind of the process, the three branches of government, the military heads there, all the cabinet members are all there. So that way they can talk about all the stuff that's really going on. It's the one time when just about everybody in Congress or everybody in government in general gets together to talk about these state of affairs right now. So they kind of have to go. But like you said, for people that are not as keen into the policy, oh, is that really true? Is, you know, Donald Trump's idea here, ideas there? It's more of the spectating sport of watching the awkwardness. And to be fair, it really did start back in the day under the Obama administration. And I want to say it was Marjorie Taylor Greene that was the one that yelled out, "You're a liar." And before that, we've heard a few groans and boos before. We've had, obviously, one side of the aisle that just doesn't stand and applaud. Because, again, it's all a game, and there's stats on how many times that Congress will clap, how many times the president's interrupted with them standing, how long the applause is, who has the longest applause. All of this is recorded, and it's weird. It's very weird on that. But I want to say the first time that it was, again, scandalous to interrupt anybody during the State of the Union was, I want to say it was Marjorie Taylor Greene under the first Obama administration. And since then, it's just gotten out of hand because we had that. Then we had Democrats that were calling Donald Trump a liar. And it's majoritively now gone back to that side. I don't remember. There was one time under the Biden administration where they called him out and just said it was not true. And it was because Joe Biden was saying that Republicans wanted to cut Social Security. And they were yelling, "No, that's not true. That's a lie. It's a complete lie." And then Joe Biden, in his stumbling, bumbling, whatever he was, as Joe Biden looked at him, he said, well, I'm really happy to hear that. I guess we should work on a bill then," which was probably the worst thing he could have said. But it wasn't really Joe Biden up there anyways. It was just his talking head, right? Conspiracy theorist, thank you very much. So now Donald Trump's going to have either the same type of protest or just the walking out altogether. Going as far as, by the way, I've heard now that we've heard that not only will they, some of them, not show up, but they're planning on an alternative broadcast at the same time as the State of the Union. They're trying to turn it into like the Turning Point USA alternative from the halftime show of the Super Bowl, to where if you don't want to watch this, you can watch this over here. And then it's going to be a battle of ratings, and it's going to be a battle of viewership, and who's actually going to be paying attention to what. And we've heard that there might be an alternative broadcast, not just the response of the State of the Union by Democrats, but an actual full-on alternative broadcast somewhere else for people to tune into for the Democrats if they don't want to listen to Donald Trump. And that's a little weird. Again, he's the president of the United States, and whether you like him or not, I want to hear what he has to say. I would rather listen to him and then respond to it afterwards and be like, "Yeah, I agree with this. I disagree with this." I don't know. But the awkwardness is going to be there. Supreme Court's going to be fun. You know what I'm waiting for, though? And I know Todd has not talked about this on the program, but Dylan, I really, 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 really hope this could be a huge opportunity here. Donald Trump could address the extraterrestrial thing from last week.
Yes. Yes.
Could that happen? Now, for those that have not been following this, I'm a dork. I've been following this to the nth degree. Barack Obama a couple weeks ago on a podcast said aliens are real, like without hesitation, then tried to walk it back a little bit. They mentioned it to Donald Trump a few days later. He says that that was not that it wasn't real, but it was classified information and he should not have said that. That kind of blew up big time. And then because of that, that night said that he's releasing and ordering the Department of War and all these other agencies to disclose all the information regarding UFOs, UAPs, and extraterrestrials. And I'm just throwing it out there. But now that he has said that, this would be the prime opportunity for Donald Trump to come out on the biggest scale, the biggest platform he has as a State of the Union and address the issue on extraterrestrials. Do you think he'll do it?
I think if people are not betting on that right now, they should go ahead and start because I think he knows what the people want to know. And, you know, especially if you're not super into everything else policy wise, like if you can get on that, like he could spend hours talking about that and just letting us know, just give a little insight. What's going on behind there?
Well, he could spend hours talking about it, but even if he just briefly mentioned it, even one line, again, if you want a bingo card for the night tonight, yep. If you want a bingo card for the State of the Union and you think, well, he's going to mention affordability and he's going to mention tariffs, he's going to mention Mexico, he's going to mention Iran, whatever else, put on that bingo card is just one of those slots for your drinking game for the quote unquote adult beverage of choice or for your sweet tea. Then you put on that bingo card somewhere that he's going to address the issue of extraterrestrial, even just one line of saying that, you know, in transparency, we've released all the Epstein files. We're working on more transparency. We're, we want to disclose more information to the American people. The government should not be hiding any more secrets. We've released all this great information. Our Department of Justice is doing a great job, which is debatable, in my opinion. But if he says that, they're doing a great job. Our FBI director's doing a great job. Department of War is doing a great job. We want all this information out. We're going to release information regarding technology, UFOs, UAPs, and extraterrestrials. And even if it's only that statement, people are going to go nuts, man. That would be wild. I can't wait to put that on your bingo card for tonight. That would be a lot of fun. All right, we'll continue this conversation, your speculation on the State of the Union at 901-260-5926. Also, not sure if you're aware or not, government's still shut down. That's pretty wild. Let's talk about that when we come back around the corner for hour number two for the Todd Starnes radio program. Stay here.
Invited to pull up a chair on Lisa Harper's Back Porch, where faith meets real life. Welcome to Back Porch Theology. Each episode helps you dive deeper into God's Word and discover that the gospel isn't just good news for eternity. It's great news for everyday life, because God is for you, and He's always been restoring our value and drawing us closer to Him. With honest conversations, a few laughs, and guests ranging from close friends to brilliant theologians, Back Porch Theology is thoughtful, meaningful, and never stuffy. So grab some coffee or sweet tea and join Lisa Harper on Back Porch Theology. Subscribe now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes, and welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hope you're having a great day. It is going to be jam-packed State of the Union tonight. But I am not here. Today, I am on my way to Houston, where I'll be talking to great Republican ladies and also visiting with our terrific affiliate, Patriot Talk 920 in Houston. In the meantime, today, you're going to be blessed. We've got our good friend Andy Hoosier from The Big Talker in Wichita, KQAM, our affiliate in the heartland. And Andy's going to do a great job today bringing us up to speed on what's happening. And also, of course, the big State of the Union address tonight in Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, Andy Hoosier.
Oh, man. To have an introduction like that from Todd is absolutely amazing. Welcome into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. My name is Andy Hoosier, and yes, it is an honor to fill in for the seat for Todd today for what we're deeming here is the pregame of the State of the Union 2026. What can we expect tonight? It's going to be a bigly one, as Donald Trump said, so there's plenty to cover there, plus the other issues going on throughout the day today. I want to hear from you at 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. Moving the Liberty University studios out here to Wichita, Kansas, on my flagship station, KQAM, a great partner and affiliate of the Todd Starnes radio show. By the way, we wrapped up this last hour. Dylan, you are getting people angry at us here on the program today, and because apparently you're just not involved in politics. People not very happy about that.
Yeah, we did get a comment about me not being too involved. You know, it's okay. It happens. Not everyone's going to have the same opinion. Not everyone's going to, you know, be as involved as everyone else. And that's okay. That's what makes it America. And
well, it's what makes it America. But you know what? It actually brings up a really good talking point for the fact that now, how old are you, Dylan? You're a little bit younger than I am.
I'm freshly 27.
Freshly 27. Yes. Fantastic. Yes. All right. So you're a bit younger than I am. And so, I mean, there is a mindset from the younger generation to where things are so divisive. They're so angry. They're so hateful that people just want to disengage and not be involved in it at all. Either that or they don't care about the details of policy, which I get. You know, that's you got to have a right mindset for that. And I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a legal scholar. I'm not a, you know, or a constitutionalist. We read the Constitution. But outside of that, you know, to understand and follow how government functions, that's not everybody's cup of tea. But as conservatives, as activists, as voters, as people that are engaged, that's our duty to find a way to get it relatable to where, Dylan, people like you do pay a little bit more attention to the issues and understand what's going on in society.
Certainly. And that does happen on a daily basis. You know, I do work here. I am up to date on politics and things. So, yeah, I'm well informed.
It's just not your entire life.
It's not my entire life. So that's all it is. And that's okay.
Unless they talk about ETs.
Unless they talk about ETs. I did go to school for music, so that's also, you know, my jam.
Oh, okay. Well, see, you know what? Everybody's got their interest, but that is our duty. If we want to see voter engagement increase, if we want to see people turn out to the polls more so than before, we have to find a way to reach people that are just not engaged, the ones that watch the Kardashians, and I say that with a very struggling emphasis, but those that care more about what a celebrity's doing than what our elected officials are doing. Although in today's age, I guess celebrities and the elected officials are one in the same. All right, I ask you, we have the ongoing game today of the bingo card. What can we expect for the State of the Union tonight? The terms of affordability, the golden age of America, and of course, probably this being the most important State of the Union address that we've had in a very long time with the 250th birthday of the nation. We can talk about patriotism, the greatness of this country. And again, I will bawl my eyes out if he mentions the comment that we are great in this nation, not because of government, but in spite of government. If he does that, man, it's going to be waterworks. It's going to be insane. Where, according to Caroline Leavitt, we are expected to see a pretty emotional speech going on tonight. At that same time, foreign policy is going to be a big issue tonight. And I think I want to spend some time on foreign policy for just a moment, because there has been a rift within the quote-unquote MAGA movement on foreign policy, because some say, why are we focused so much on foreign policy? Why are we not focused on America first? Why are we not focusing on just the issues here in the United States? And I understand that argument, but at the same time, in today's age, whether we accept it and like it or not, globalization, or at least a global economy, or the influence of other nations and relationships with other nations, or the enemies and threats of other nations, are something that largely impact us here in the United States. Today, the new tariff policy, at least one of the new tariff policies, a global tariff of 10%. He dropped it back down from 15%. It is now 10%, officially takes hold today. That coming after the statement from the Supreme Court last week in their decision that what he was using as the statute before is not able to be used right now. However, they pretty much gave him the green light of, hey, you can't do it this way. Here's the guidelines for you to do it a different way. Have at it, buddy. Go crazy. And that's what Donald Trump's going to do. And he said even during his speech in the press conference last week that he would be essentially even more powerful on tariff control than what he was in the past. But until they get that figured out, until they change the statute, it's going to be a global 10% tariff. And I want, for just a moment, I cannot wait and speculate to see the awkwardness of when Donald Trump looks into the eyes of the Supreme Court justices that are going to be sitting in the front row today for the State of the Union address, when he addresses and mentions this issue, because it really, at least for the moment, temporarily, takes away all the leverage that Donald Trump had in making better trade deals. And I think that is a cause for concern for us. And for some reason, the United States, we love to spite ourselves and eat our own. And I don't understand it. For those that don't know, we've created, 10 new trade deals with nations? Because for the longest time, and I'm still trying to grapple with this understanding, that we have people in in these departments, in the Secretary of State's office, in whatever agency that looks over these trade deals, we have hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of workers that all they do is coordinate with other nations, work with the trade deals, and then know what's coming into the country, what's not coming into the country, what we need, what we do. Like, they monitor all of this stuff. And for decades, when we haven't created a new trade deal since like the 1970s, we're just like, meh, we're just going to keep it going. Prime example is the nation of Australia. And I like this one as an example because living in Kansas, where I'm from, here on KQAM, my big talker in Wichita, Kansas, that a lot of it's agriculture. And most of the middle of the country is agriculture. That for the longest time, farmers, ranchers, you probably know this, a lot of people didn't. Did you know that we have not been able to sell cattle and beef into the nation of Australia since like the 70s? Because at that time, there was some virus going through our cattle herds, and Australia didn't want it. So they updated the trade deal to say that we're not going to purchase any beef or cattle from the U.S. because we don't want that virus. That was long gone. Like, that virus is gone, and it's been for a long time. Never updated the trade deal to be like, hey, we should probably start selling meat back to you guys again. Didn't happen until the Trump administration. Now we have a better trade deal with them. Now we've opened up new markets to where cattle ranchers can actually sell their meat and export more of their beef to other nations, including including the U.K., including Australia and other places, all of them now redoing their ag trade to where we can sell these products globally, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing for farmers when we've had a trouble with herds and with drought and with issues, and they've been struggling for a long time. Now we have more of a demand, and we can produce more, we can make more money, and everything's going to be moving in the right direction. So we force these countries to come to the table and do these trade negotiations because of tariffs. You've been taking advantage of us for a long time. That's not going to happen anymore. We're going to place this tariff on you. And that way it forces you to come to the table. We redo it. And then we can get rid of all the tariffs and we can all be happy because everybody's making some money. Like, that's the purpose of what these were supposed to be. And a lot of people don't like tariffs. It's a tax on the people. I understand that policy. But by golly, this has been done for a temporary thing. And now we've taken all of that leverage away. And now the new trade deals, the 10 new ones at least that we've had, now again have a 10% global tax or a tariff on them until we can figure out what to do with these new statutes. And that's kind of insane. Donald Trump tonight will be apparently advocating for Congress to codify many of his tariff laws and what he wants to do, which, according to James Comer, says that that's what he's going to try and focus on in Congress.
But look, I support the president. We're going to do, in my congressional office in Kentucky, I'm going to do whatever the president wants to move his agenda forward.
Yeah.
And I know Mike Johnson and Steve Scalise are trying very hard to get the votes. And I think the president's going to address this tariff situation tonight in his speech, along with many other issues like health care. So,
yeah. So apparently we're struggling, and this goes into the filibuster with the non-60 vote majority we have in the Senate, the slim majority of 2, 3, 4, 5 votes we have in the House right now with Mike Johnson, where Mike Johnson has openly said, hat tip to Fox News today, saying that it's unlikely that Congress will be able to codify the tariffs for President Donald Trump. And it begs the question, which is probably one of the things that we will expect to see in a call for from the Trump administration tonight during that State of the Union, is that he needs to call on Congress to, what? Do something. Get something done. Come on, man. You guys are Congress. We, again, gave you the House, gave you the Senate, gave you the presidency. You got to do something. We got to learn how to rally. We got to learn how to unite. And we need apparently better whips. And by whips, whoosh, meaning, if you don't know, there's actually whips on each party to actually rally their troops to vote in unison as a party to actually get things done. Well, we got to do that, man. What's the point of having a Republican majority if we're not going to get anything done? And going into a midterm season, right now the odds, the betting odds, show that Republicans keep the Senate but lose the House. And we gain, by the way, Republican governors across the nation. But losing the House means impeachment votes against Donald Trump and means no bills, no legislation, no codifying the Trump agenda for the next 2 years. And we can't have that. And the only way Republicans are going to win and actually get some momentum with Republican voters wanting to turn out and vote for them is if Republicans begin codifying what Trump has done. And by codify, I mean ram it down their throats. End the filibuster in the Senate and every day codify what Donald Trump signed, close to 400 executive orders? Codify them. Permanentize them. Make them legislation. Make them law. It can't just be the one big beautiful bill. It can't just be the SAVE Act, which we're struggling to do right now in the Senate. It can't be that. We have so much we have to do. Show of hands. Anybody know the government's still actually shut down right now? Why? Because Republicans cowered during the appropriations process after the House passed the minibus bill of all the appropriations, or at least a few of the appropriations, in one lump sum, sent it to the Senate, and then Democrats said, no, let's separate funding from the Department of Homeland Security, and we'll pass all the other appropriation bills, but let's focus on DHS because that's where ICE is, and we just want simple reforms, right? We want simple reforms on ICE, changing their uniform a little bit, making sure they don't wear a mask, making sure they have body cameras on. We just want simple tunings, and by the way, we want to cut a little bit of their funding, get rid of close to 5,000 deportation hubs around the country, or cells, to where we can house these illegal migrants before we deport them. We just want slight things. And stupidly, Republicans were like, oh, sure, okay, that sounds a great idea. So they separated the funding, they passed all the others, and now we're still sitting in a partial government shutdown with 2 to 3% of the federal budget that has not been passed for the Department of Homeland Security. Now we have TSA workers, we have the border security, we have ICE agents, we have people in our security, like keeping this country safe and doing what they have to do, not getting paid, going through the steps of the furlough, essentially, by working without pay until this rejoined. And according to Hakeem Jeffries, he's just like, oh, it's a Republican shutdown again.
Oh, my goodness. The person who invented this thing is simply...
Oh, that's not the right one. Let's try... Oh, let's go to this one.
We have to abolish ICE. We have to abolish the Customs and Border Patrol in the way that they currently exist and replace them with something that actually does the work that we need for them to.
What work is that, by the way?
At holding these people in this administration accountable. I'll tell you what the work is not. The work is not killing American citizens.
You said the work we need them to do. I'm interested in your opinion. What is the work that we need them to do?
Absolutely. One, the work is not killing American citizens.
So now we've let them... We've given them the mention they're taking a mile, right? This was a Democrat strategist on CNN saying that now, not only do we want to reform ICE, but now we're just going to abolish it completely. The radicals took hold, and now we're in a quagmire. Now we have to pass DHS funding, everybody's on furlough, and now we have these people that are like, no, we don't just want to reform ICE, we want to cancel it altogether. We want to abolish ICE. And Republicans are saying no, and the Democrats are just like, well, I guess just what we're going to have to do.
Of the Trump Republican shutdown of the Department of Homeland Security. Why are we in this moment? It's because Republicans have decided that they would rather shut down FEMA, shut down TSA, and shut down the Coast Guard than get ICE under control.
Uh-huh. That's the argument. Their argument is they don't want to rein in ICE, while the Democrats are saying it out loud as their pundits, as other elected officials. They're not satisfied until it's abolished completely. How we get out of that, I don't know. But the reason we're in this situation in the first place is because Republicans gave up all of their leverage by splitting up that vote of the appropriations and separating that from the rest of it instead of saying, no, pass it all, then we can talk about reforms later. Absolutely insane. I hope Donald Trump calls them out for that tonight on the State of the Union address. Got to take a break. 901-260-5926. Your thoughts on what we could expect tonight and a heck of a lot more. It is Andy Hoosier sitting in for the Todd Starnes radio program.
You're invited to pull up a chair on Lisa Harper's Back Porch, where faith meets real life. Welcome to Back Porch Theology. Each episode helps you dive deeper into God's word and discover that the gospel isn't just good news for eternity. It's great news for everyday life, because God is for you and he's always been restoring our value and drawing us closer to him. With honest conversations, a few laughs, and guests ranging from close friends to brilliant theologians, Back Porch Theology is thoughtful, meaningful, and never stuffy. So grab some coffee or sweet tea and join Lisa Harper on Back Porch Theology. Subscribe now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to it. Todd Starnes radio program for a Tuesday today, the pregame show for the State of the Union 2026. That's what we're deeming the program today. Andy Hoosier sitting in. I want to hear from you at 901-260-5926. By the way, speaking of the DHS funding, ICE reforms, the push now of the radicalized ones where they've let the cat out of the bag. First, they were just like, oh, let's just do some basic reforms. So now we're not settling for anything less than the complete abolishment of ICE and the reform of DHS altogether. And if you don't, it's Republicans' fault for not getting on board with us. The real reason for compromise, right? That's how we hear compromise in today's terms. According to Democrats, it's you have to get on board with everything that we want, as radical as it may or may not be. And if you don't, then you're not bipartisan. You're not working and willing to reach across the aisle. I'm sorry, I don't want to reach across the aisle to absolute lunacy. But the cat's out of the bag, and now the radicals have hijacked the Democrat Party, advocating for the abolishment of ICE.
We have to abolish ICE. We have to abolish the Customs and Border Patrol in the way that they currently exist and replace them with something that actually does the work that we need for them to.
What work is that, by the way?
At holding.
I don't know what he means there. Doing their job. They're rounding up people that are illegal, and specifically that have broken the law, that are criminals beyond just becoming an illegal alien, and then deporting them. I don't know what else that they're supposed to be doing. That's kind of strange. By the way, I don't know if you've seen, but Ilhan Omar is not very happy. She apparently went to go and try and visit a detention facility from ICE before people were deported in Minneapolis, and by the time they showed up, they had already shipped out and deported everybody that was at that detention facility.
Now, we gave notice 8 days ago. We got confirmation yesterday that we were going to be allowed in, and the last detainee was taken out at 11:30 a.m., 30 minutes before we were set to arrive.
What about the children who released in t-shirts on Wednesday?
And we also did ask, how many people came through today. which is why it felt convenient that no one was there. They said 10 when we first got there, and 10 were gone. And then they said there were another 5.
So apparently they went to go visit them, of course, the victims of the totalitarian, authoritarian regime of the Trump administration and the Gestapo of the Trump administration, meaning ICE, that they went to go visit the victims of our society in these detention facilities to tell them everything's okay and that we will protect you and do what we can to try and keep you in society as criminal people that were breaking the law and causing harm in the streets. We want to showcase you. And by the time they got there, all of them were gone and they got nothing more than to visit an empty cell. Well done, Trump administration. The trolling continues, and they're not very happy about it. Lots more coming up. Stay here.
You're invited to pull up a chair on Lisa Harper's Back Porch, where faith meets real life. Welcome to Back Porch Theology. Each episode helps you dive deeper into God's Word and discover that the gospel isn't just good news for eternity. It's great news for everyday life, because God is for you, and He's always been restoring our value and drawing us closer to Him. With honest conversations, a few laughs, and guests ranging from close friends to brilliant theologians, Back Porch Theology is thoughtful, meaningful, and never stuffy. So grab some coffee or sweet tea and join Lisa Harper on Back Porch Theology. Subscribe now wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, welcome back to it. It is the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Andy Hoosier sitting in today for your pregame show of the State of the Union 2026. We're breaking down everything that could potentially be talked about. The new tariffs taking hold today, the change in statute from the Trump administration on how to implement different tariffs, and what does that mean moving forward? The leverage that we apparently like to take away from ourselves when we negotiate with other foreign nations. That's really kind of strange. Plus, of course, we have the golden age of America. We have the setting up. The stage is set now for midterm elections of 2026. Plenty of things covering and going on right now. The partial government shutdown from the DHS funding and, of course, the lack of movement from Congress on codifying the Trump agenda, the SAVE Act, and more. What the heck is this world going into? The chaos and anarchy and shenanigans, as Joe Biden would say, the malarkey in society. But I want to talk about some of this and more with our next guest on the program as we go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotlines here on the Todd Starnes Radio Program. He's a regular guest here on the show as a Republican strategist, a regular guest on Newsmax, focusing on different legislative affairs, campaigns, and so much more. Really happy to have on here Mr. Josh Jones. Josh, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Appreciate you jumping on with us here on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I got to ask you, man, speculation for the State of the Union tonight, the 250th birthday of the nation, at least probably one of the most patriotic years of a State of the Union that we could potentially hear about. What could we expect tonight from Donald Trump?
Look, I mean, I think it's going to cover a lot of different talking points, but I think you're going to see a particular focus from the president on foreign affairs. I mean, between with Venezuela, what's happening in Mexico, with tariffs, Greenland, the Board of Peace, the president has really been putting his foreign policy agenda forward, and much to the credit of Marco Rubio as well. So I think you're going to see a lot of foreign affairs covered tonight, along with, it was just announced a couple of hours ago that Erica Kirk is going to be there, yes, some other special guests. So I think it's going to be a pretty wide discussion.
Yeah, it's going to be a wide discussion. You mentioned the foreign policy. You're right. I think there will be a large chunk of this speech that will focus on foreign policy, which is almost controversial in itself, because when Donald Trump really started paying attention to a lot of foreign policy issues that's needed, I mean, that's kind of the world that we live in today, is how we relate to other nations and whether we have a lot of threats or whether we have strong allies and trade policy and so on and so forth. But, you know, the ones that have tried to breach the MAGA movement and stray away from the MAGA movement, like the Marjorie Taylor Greens and others that said we're focusing too much on foreign policy, is that going to cause an issue tonight, do you think?
Look, I mean, I think 99% of Republicans are unified on this front. Look, Trump has been consistent going back to 2016 to now. It's always been about America first. And sometimes America first means supporting Israel or supporting our allies overseas or taking out our drug cartels in Venezuela. So, look, America first also means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But at its core, it's putting America's national interests first, whether that's here domestically or overseas. Yeah, there's a faction of the Republican Party that disagrees with that. But look, that's honestly just gives us credit to the fact that we are a big tent party and we have a lot of different viewpoints within the party. And it's healthy to debate those. And then, you know, we move forward together as a team.
Yeah, that's a great point. How awkward is it going to be for Donald Trump to be staring at the front row with the Supreme Court justices after railing on them last week for having foreign interests and not abiding by the Constitution? Now, they did give him guidelines on how to change the statute on the tariff policy. We are seeing the global tariff come in at 10% starting today until he changes those statutes. But is, what do you think he's going to do as he directs an attack towards Supreme Court justices sitting in the front row tonight?
Like, what? Look, we one thing I think a lot of us credit Donald Trump with, and you know, Arthur can get him into trouble sometimes, and I think he would admit that himself, is he speaks his mind, which is a refreshing in a lot of ways, but also can get him into some trouble. So we'll see if he mentions the Supreme Court justices. Honestly, I don't know what he would say, but it'd be a fun one to watch.
Yeah, it will be a fun one to watch. As you mentioned, we did see the breaking news. Erica Kirk will be there as a special guest for Donald Trump. It sounds like he'll probably mention Charlie Kirk and mention the movement of trying to bring conservatism to the young generation, that sort of thing. We're also hearing the breaking news, according to the spokesperson from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, that she will not be attending the State of the Union address. Apparently, there are near 30 Democrats that plan to not attend the State of the Union address, and they're now promoting an alternative broadcast called like the People's Rally or something, where it's going to be almost like Turning Point's alternative halftime show at the Super Bowl, where they're apparently going to be trying to get alternative programming to drive people away from Donald Trump. Is that going to be a successful ploy here?
I don't think so. I think they're just going to be speaking to the same people that are already on their side. Look, when you're elected to Congress, you're there to represent, roughly speaking, 750,000 constituents. So at the end of the day, whether you're, you know, your party's in power and you agree with the president or you don't, you should be in the room, at least listening to the agenda that the president's laying out. And look, you're, you know, more than welcome to disagree and voice your concerns, but they go off and kind of do this sideshow that, frankly, no one's going to watch. I mean, good for them, I guess, but no one cares, frankly.
Yeah, it's not going to make a whole lot of difference. Like you said, unless it's just their echo chamber that they're going to have. We're talking with Josh Jones, a Republican strategist. You can find him on the Tweety or on X at Josh Jones DC. Let's focus on for just a moment, what do you think the message is going to be from Donald Trump to members of Congress? And by that, I mean Republican leaders in Congress that for a year outside of passing the One Big Beautiful Bill really haven't seen a lot of action. We haven't seen the codifying of the Trump agenda. We haven't seen the passage of the SAVE Act. We still have a partial government shutdown with Homeland Security funding in limbo right now after allowing Democrats to separate that funding from the rest of the appropriations process. Is he going to be stern with Republicans to pretty much say, hey, if you want to win in the midterm elections coming up in November, let's get on the roll and let's start getting some things done here?
Yeah, you're hitting the nail on the head. I hope that's what he does, frankly, because look, I'm a Republican. Don't get me wrong. I work with some of these Republican Congress people on the political side of things and helping them with their campaigns. But look, if we don't do anything once we're elected, if we can't govern and get bills across the through Congress and onto the president's desk, then what are we doing? So I hope the president does hold Congress accountable, because Democrats are on the march as it comes to midterms. Look, their message is Donald Trump, and that's what they're going to use to drive their base to the polls. I'm not saying that's obviously something I agree with, but that's what they're going to do. And it's going to get their voters to come out, and Republicans have to give a reason for their voters to come out and vote too. If they feel like they're not getting anything done in D.C., they're not going to rehire them. I hope Trump holds Congress accountable tonight.
Yeah, do you think he's going to call for the end of the filibuster in the Senate?
Look, that'd be a testy one. I don't know one way or another, because I think there are a lot of those more traditional conservatives in the Senate that have a lot of that I hear a lot to the traditions and the institution of the Senate. So, look, that'd be a controversial one if he did bring it up. But who knows? I mean, it's definitely possible.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Let's shift gears. Let's go down to Mexico for a moment. The civil war that's taking place right now, the cartels that are lashing out after the killing of the cartel leader and his son, and the president down there feeling the pressure. The headline we've seen is abiding by the Trump admin or abiding to the cartels. This has been something that's, in my opinion, been long in coming for a while now, with the cartels finally starting to rise up and essentially purging ourselves of that type of insanity down in that area. Are we seeing the cleansing, and I say that loosely for the people that are like, Donald Trump wants a cleansing, but are we seeing a cleansing of evil in our Western Hemisphere after the arrest of Nicolas Maduro, the pressure we're putting on Cuba, and now, in my opinion, the pressure that President Trump has put on the nation of Mexico to expose a lot of these cartels to where we could finally, it's going to get brutal for a while, but if we can cleanse this, are we on the track to actually clean up our Western Hemisphere?
Look, I mean, that's what I'm hoping for, and I think that's what this administration, and particularly the Secretary of State, Rubio, is working on. I mean, at a very minimum, you know, and it has nothing, I think a lot of, at least some people in the Republican conservative movement would argue that it's too globalist, or we're getting too involved in international affairs. But mind you, this is the Western Hemisphere. This is our backyard. If we can't secure our border in our backyard as it relates to cartels and drugs coming into our country, then we have a big problem on our hands. So I think you are seeing a big push from the president and his administration to, and this goes back to securing the border, but to exercise our influence into our hemisphere, frankly, in taking out these drug operations. And look, it's going to save American lives in the long term. And yeah, there might be a little bit of turmoil in Mexico right now, or Venezuela, or wherever else. But look, when you're sick, you have to go into the, you have to go under onto the operating table, and that's what's happening right now.
Well, that is what's happening right now. And for those that are concerned about foreign policy, look, I mean, we've cleaned up the border. We've been able to seal the border. We've been able to deport a lot of these gang members and cartel members out of the United States already. But that doesn't mean that they're still not knocking at our door, waiting for a different administration and waiting for new policy to allow them to come back in here. This is right on our doorstep. We have to deal with this. Last question on that is, do you think that President Sheinbaum of Mexico, who has said that American soldiers on Mexico soil would be a declaration of war, will she change that tune and ask for the U.S. help on this ongoing war that they're dealing with right now?
Look, I mean, it's hard to tell because, I mean, yeah, it's hard to tell as it relates to Mexico. But look, I mean, President Trump has made the offer multiple times to assist the Mexican government with these cartels, whether that's putting American boots on the ground or with drone strikes. But clearly, as a, you know, we saw play out over the last couple of days, they're not super capable of handling it themselves, or at least not right away. Maybe they'll bounce back. But if I were her, I would take the help.
I would, too. That would be nice. Yeah, we got a couple of minutes left here, Josh. Let's shift gears. Let's talk about midterm elections for the year. As you mentioned, looking at Republicans on how they're positioning themselves right now, Congress needs to act. They need to get on board with some legislation. But right now, early poll numbers show, and early speculation in the bidding odds show, that Republicans keep the Senate. They widen their margin for the number of governorships that we have across the nation, but lose the House. Is that a concern? And with the RNC that's like shattering records with almost $200 million in their war chest right now, is that something that we need to be concerned about? And what's your outlook for the midterms?
Look, I mean, midterms, as it relates to the House specifically, it is something we need to be concerned about. Because, look, Democrat voters are motivated because they want to, this is their first chance, nationally speaking, to respond to the Trump administration and voice their frustrations. Again, not saying I agree with them, but that's what's going to drive them to the polls. So Republicans do need to be concerned about the House. And and Democrats are also stacking the deck in a lot of states. If you look at Virginia, for example, my home state, the Virginia Democrat General Assembly and the Virginia Democrat Governor Abigail Spanberger, who's giving the response to President Trump tonight, just redrew our congressional map to go to a referendum from having five Republican seats in the state down to one. So, yeah. Look, I mean, if they pass that, it's already an almost impossible task to keep the House. And that's something that should be garnering more national attention. And hopefully maybe the president mentions it tonight.
I'm glad you mentioned that. It's going to be a bloodbath. I mean, Texas was a redrawing because it was a better representation based on those voter outcomes in the last presidential election. California didn't like that. They're redrawing, like you mentioned, Virginia. I mean, this is going to be a mess. And now we have other states that just don't want to do it. I'm from Kansas, and we didn't want to redraw our lines, even though it would only help with one seat. But it made sense to do so. And now we're in this battle of gerrymandering, and it's only going to benefit Democrats. Why? Because it's benefited them for every time that they've drawn lines, because they really, really enjoy their gerrymandering. Josh, last question for you, and I appreciate your time. The biggest question of the day is for the State of the Union tonight, after the announcement from the end of last week. Will Donald Trump use the State of the Union as an opportunity to disclose extraterrestrial life?
I will take the under on that, but I hope he
does. I am hoping for it. I'm the eternal optimist, and I'm ready for the announcement going on tonight. Josh Jones, you can find him on the Tweety. You can find all the great work that he does. We appreciate the time very much, my friend.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, you bet. Again, Josh Jones right there on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline. Great conversation and what we could look out for with the pregame show here of the State of the Union 2026. Got to take a break. We'll take your phone calls when we come back at 901-260-5926. Andy Hoosier sitting in for the Todd Starnes radio program.
You're invited to pull up a chair on Lisa Harper's Back Porch, where faith meets real life. Welcome to Back Porch Theology. Each episode helps you dive deeper into God's Word and discover that the gospel isn't just good news for eternity. It's great news for everyday life because God is for you. And he's always been restoring our value and drawing us closer to him. With honest conversations, a few laughs, and guests ranging from close friends to brilliant theologians, Back Porch Theology is thoughtful, meaningful, and never stuffy. So grab some coffee or sweet tea and join Lisa Harper on Back Porch Theology. Subscribe now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to it. Todd Starnes radio program. Getting ready to wrap up this hour of the program. 901-260-5926. Let's jump right to the calls here, shall we? And let's go to John, listening on the great flagship of Todd at KWAM. John, what's going on, my friend? How are you?
How you doing? I just listened to your guest just a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
I'll make this real short and sweet. I'm a conservative. I've been voting Republican since I was in the Army. Many, many moons ago, you know, like 100 years ago when we used black powder rifles. Just kidding with that one. But
I love it.
You know, I'm losing, and I hope your guests are listening. I am losing faith in the Republican Party. My local Republican Party headquarters still will not return my calls. My Republican congressional representative will not return my calls or my emails. Rand Paul, forget it. If he doesn't agree with you, he'll block you. And Mitch McConnell, well, you know, let's just say he's Mitch, okay? But the problem is I can see why so many conservative voters, the only one that is doing anything, trying to do anything for our country, foreign policy-wise and domestic policy-wise, is that guy at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in our military, that gentleman that's at the Pentagon and the War Department. A lot of these Republicans, to me, are, excuse me for saying this, are so full of crap, they can't see the brown through the forest because they're so full of it. They'll make all these promises, and then when they say, if you have a problem, call me or reach out to me, they're not going to do it. They don't care. They really, sincerely don't care. The only thing we can do as Americans is keep on hitting them with as many emails, but then when you get, they bother them, they just won't respond to you. And to me, as a veteran, my wife's a Marine Corps veteran. She runs the house, by the way. I just want to let you know that because she's a Marine.
That's
but,
right.
You know, we're coming up on 250 years. When in the H-E double toothpicks are these politicians going to start understanding? We're the ones that put them there. And that's why the Republicans lose the House, because they're not doing their jobs.
Yeah.
They're not. And Donald Trump can do all he wants. He's done everything humanly possible, even superhumanly possible, and yet these Republicans will not, you know, codify the SAVE Act. They will not do anything because they're a bunch of freaking cowards, and I'm calling their honor into question. So excuse me for saying that, but that's the truth. But I'll still vote conservative. Heck, if you ran for office, I'd vote for you three times the Chicago way, and I don't even live in your state.
Well, look, John, I get it. Look, there's a lot of frustration because you're right. When we saw this Trump administration take fold last year, we were so excited. When we saw the cabinet come together for Trump with RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard and Pete Hegseth and Kash Patel and all these guys, we got so excited that finally the reset button's going to be hit. We're going to see a completely different nation. We are going to see everything that we've been wanting to be fixed. We're going to start seeing it happen. And I will say that from that side, from the executive branch and that cabinet, we're seeing more action and more progress than I think any other administration has seen in the last century. We've seen 100 years of action under 1 year of a Trump administration. But you're right. None of it matters unless we codify it in Congress. And right now, we still have a lot of people scared of their own shadow. And we've gotten better, but we still have a long ways to go here.
Right. And the other thing is these representatives, first of all, you hire tactically trained and well-armored armed security. They will not hold town hall meetings. And again, they are cowards. And they to me, it's almost like Thomas Stonewall Jackson said, you know, he's Confederate, but he said, you have scallywags and carpetbaggers, and that's exactly what they're acting like. And great showing. And again, I'm sorry. Thanks for letting me vent my spleen. God bless you.
Well, God bless you, my friend, and thank you for your service, and thank you for what you've done. Yeah, you know what? I feel the passion. I get it, and you know what? That's where we step in to try and do what we can to fix it. Look, a lot of people don't know on Todd's show, but I'm in my, I guess, second year as the vice chair for the state Republican Party in Kansas. Why? I've never been in any quote-unquote elected office, nor have I really had any desire to do so, but if there's a chance to change the party from inside, that's what we have to do, and along with berating and holding our elected officials accountable, changing that system internally is all we can do, because like you said, if we don't, it will never get fixed. We'll never be able to do anything else, and there's no other place for us to go. We can't vote third party. That's not going to do anything. It's not going to fix anything. You can't walk away. We got to keep at it, my friend. So John, thank you for the call. Thank you for the passion. Appreciate it very much. Yeah, let's just keep on it. Hold these people accountable. Put the pressure on them. Make them get the job done, or we're going to be in a way worse situation. Lots more coming up. Stay here.
Invited to pull up a chair on Lisa Harper's Back Porch, where faith meets real life. Welcome to Back Porch Theology. Each episode helps you dive deeper into God's Word and discover that the gospel isn't just good news for eternity. It's great news for everyday life, because God is for you, and He's always been restoring our value and drawing us closer to Him. With honest conversations, a few laughs, and guests ranging from close friends to brilliant theologians, Back Porch Theology is thoughtful, meaningful, and never stuffy. So grab some coffee or sweet tea and join Lisa Harper on Back Porch Theology. Subscribe now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes, and welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hope you're having a great day. It is going to be jam-packed State of the Union tonight. But I am not here. Today, I am on my way to Houston, where I'll be talking to great Republican ladies and also visiting with our terrific affiliate, Patriot Talk 920 in Houston. In the meantime, today, you're going to be blessed. We've got our good friend Andy Hoosier from The Big Talker in Wichita, KQAM, our affiliate in the heartland. And Andy's going to do a great job today, bringing us up to speed on what's happening, and also, of course, the big State of the Union address tonight in Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, Andy Hoosier.
Oh, man, what an introduction that is, Todd. Thank you so much for that, and thank you for allowing us to sit in this seat, moving that Liberty University studios out here to Wichita, Kansas, my flagship station, the Big Talker KQAM, and a great, great affiliate of the Todd Starnes Radio Program. We love doing it, and what a day to do it as well. The 250th birthday of this nation this year, and the State of the Union address to address the most patriotic State of the Union, at least of our lifetime, I think, that we can have of the 250th. Well, I take that back. I guess 50 years ago, people could have said, we got the 200th. So I guess that's cool. But this is the 250th birthday of this nation, and I cannot imagine the kind of patriotism that we're expected to see at that State of the Union tonight. Caroline Leavitt, she said that that's what we get to expect as well, and I cannot wait for that.
He is going to share the stories of great American heroes who exemplify bravery and the spirit of 1776. And the president is, of course, going to tout his administration's record-setting accomplishments over the past year, while laying out an ambitious agenda to continue making the American dream more attainable and affordable for working class people across the country. It's going to be a great speech. There will be some tear-jerking moments, as there was last year, in addition to some moments of levity. And so we hope everybody will tune in.
I cannot wait for that one, and it'll be a fun one. What kind of tear-jerking moments could we expect to hear from President Donald Trump tonight? I want to hear from you at 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. We'll do some speculation. We've kind of set our bingo card throughout the program today on the drinking game of adult beverage of choice, or your sweet tea that you can enjoy for your shots tonight during the State of the Union address, and we'll get to some of that in just a little bit. Before we do, though, I want to shift gears, though, and I got to give a shout out and our thoughts out to everybody on the East Coast with the dumping of the snow that we've seen out there. I was not aware, and Dylan, did you know this? I was not aware of the number one reason for heart attacks in the nation is apparently people shoveling snow.
Oh, yes. I recently figured that out. My wife told me. And that was,
really?
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either until this. Now, according to some reporters there in New York City, 17 inches of snow have dropped, and I get it. It's the East Coast. I grew up originally in Ohio. I'm in Kansas now, but I grew up in Ohio originally. I was near the Toledo, Ohio, northwest corner of the state. I was right by Lake Erie, so we had that lake effect. So the snow was very wet. It was very heavy. It was a ridiculous pain in the butt to try and shovel. So I get it. I get that, but I was not aware that shoveling snow was the number one reason for heart attacks. That kind of blew my mind when I heard that stat.
Yeah, because I guess, you know, you put the pressure, that initial, like, force into it when you're, like, going into it. That's got to be why.
Okay, can I be frank, though? Is that a sign of how weak we are as a society?
That might be.
Just throwing it out there. I mean, look, if you are elderly, if you have a heart debilitating issue, okay, I get it. Don't shovel snow. I get that. But come on, shoveling snow, not going through the, you know, the Marine Corps as a special operations person where you're, you know, suffering yourself and you're drowning underwater and you're lifting logs for like 12 hours a day and running 14 miles. That's not the number one reason for a heart attack. Shoveling snow is the reason for the number one case for heart attacks. I'm sorry, but this probably reinforces the idea of why we need the MAHA Make America Healthy Again movement with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Because if that's your number one reason on why you potentially could get a heart attack, I think we have a serious lack of exercise problem in society.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I think it also has to do with, like, it's cold outside, your blood vessels are constricting maybe, and that force, upper body force.
I can't
go
with that, though, either, man. Okay, so people that listen to me, and I've filled in for Todd a few times here and there, and I really appreciate that. I enjoy my cold weather. I am a cold person. I've said that when Donald Trump buys Greenland, I'm going to be the first one moving up to Greenland. I do the ice plunges and the ice bath. I take cold showers every day. I don't even turn on the heat at all. I go outside in the wintertime when it's negative 20 and do my meditations and my shorts and my t-shirt. I enjoy that because it gets rid of inflammation in your body. It brings the mental clarity. It gets rid of whatever crazy wild thoughts that are straining your, like, it's so good for your body in the cold that, yeah, you know, I guess if you're not used to it, then it's a bit of a shock to the system. But come on, man,
that's a good
shoveling
point.
Shoveling snow, the reason for heart attacks in the country. we have a serious lack of exercise or maybe health issue in this nation. I think we need to address that. So thank God for MAHA and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. right now, because maybe we should start doing snow shoveling training courses or something.
Or Wim Hof, like Wim Hof.
Yeah, the Wim Hof. I tell you, the Wim Hof, the cold therapy and his breath meditation, insane. And, okay, side story, and I promise we'll get back to the topic of the day. Have you seen his breath work that he does on it's 30 deep breaths in and out really fast, and then exhaling all your breath and holding as long as possible, and then inholding it for like 15 seconds, and then doing that, that's like one round, and you do like three or four rounds of that.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. I've tried it.
You've tried it. Okay. Yeah. I love it. I try it as well. The longest I've been able to hold my breath and like exhaling it all and holding it without, 3 minutes and 16 seconds.
Wow. That's pretty good. I feel like that's above average.
That is above average. It took me a long time, and I started to black out and forgot how to breathe when it was time for me to do so.
Exactly, yeah. That'll do that.
But it's actually pretty amazing. There you go. The little shout-out for Wim Hof. I enjoy those breath meditations. I feel really good on those. Speaking of, by the way, so New York, 17 inches of snow at least. Now we have the call for emergency snow shovelers in New York City from Zohan Mamdani, where he had called for them. You get paid $30 an hour to shovel snow in the commie area of New York City now, but in order to do so, you have to prove your identification, which I'm sure is scandalous there, to the point where even Mom Donnie yesterday had to come out and clarify why you had to present forms of identification.
He is going to share this.
No, that's not the right one. Let's try. That would be, let's go to this one.
Take a look here. Favorite photo?
Nope, that's not the wrong one either. That's okay. Oh, you know what? Here it is.
Federal law requires that employers get authorization and documentation to pay people for their work. We are not allowed to just cut checks to individuals for their work. This is all longstanding. This is a longstanding program and longstanding requirements, and this is a way that New Yorkers get paid to shovel snow in assistance with the city's response to a winter storm event. These are the policies that we've had in place, but I understand that for many, it's the first time that they've ever heard of it.
All right, so this is more of an explanation to his side of the aisle of, why do we we have to show an ID because we just want to get paid. So it's I love his excuse as well. It's a federal program in order to have emergency snow shovelers in New York City. Now, I want to preface this by saying this is the guy that has now presented a citywide budget that is $10 billion above the entire state budget for the state of Florida. I know that Todd's talked about this, but at the same time, while we're increasing it $10 billion above an entire budget for a whole state of Florida with a third of the population, he's cutting more than 5,000 NYPD officers. He's investing, and I say investing loosey-goosey here for the radio listeners, he's investing in a lot of DEI initiatives and hiring a whole bunch of DEI protocol for the city of New York City, but now we don't apparently pick up trash. We had a whole bunch of people in the last round of the snowstorm that have had their power cut off, their gas cut off, people dying because they didn't have any warmth in any fashion, and now they're so desperate for basic functioning governmental issues. You got to hire emergency snow shovelers at $30 an hour for them to present their IDs. I don't know, maybe it's just me, I find that kind of ironic. I think that's kind of funny. Well, you got to show your ID in order to do this, and the fact that they can't do it themselves because government is in such disarray with a budget that you would think you'd have plenty of government workers in order to shovel snow, you can't do that now. But now the SAVE Act is being looked at in kind of hush-hush from the other side of the aisle, because if you have to show forms of identification to shovel snow, then you probably need it just for basic voter ID as well. And even though he says
federal law requires
federal law. Well, the federal government, if you want to go to the Constitution gives two stipulations for you to be able to vote. And that is a U.S. citizen and you abide by the jurisdiction thereof, meaning you follow the rules of the country. And if you do those two things, then you have the right to vote in this nation, because now you just have to prove it. You're not in jail, so you kind of prove the fact that you're following the jurisdiction thereof, and you have to prove that you are a U.S. citizen. That's not really that complicated of a matter, and I don't know if it's intentionally being dense or if they truly just don't have that aha light bulb moment popping on, as Bernie Sanders was on a podcast and said this.
Some geniuses think that before you can, maybe I have it wrong here, register to vote, you need a passport or your birth certificate. Do you have a passport or your birth certificate?
At the moment?
Do you?
I do.
Right, but millions of people don't. I don't have my birth certificate. God knows how I get it.
I don't know how to do it. I don't even know how to get it. You're an elected official, bro. Now, again, this is either being intentionally dense and dumb, or you're just doing it to try and prove a point, which kind of got shot down when the lady, female, that's interviewing you right now, it says, yeah, I actually have my birth certificate. Well, a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't know how to even get it. You're an elected official, bro. You go to the courts and you go to, hey, this is the place where I was born. This is the county I was born. I'm going to go to the courthouse. They have it digitized. Hey, can I get a birth certificate, please? It's really not that difficult. Dylan, do you think they're being intentionally dense here, or is this trying to prove a political point?
Yeah, no, I think they're,
or they really just not get it.
I think they're being intentional about this, because most people, if you look at them, it's pretty obvious how to get these things. It's not as hard as they say it is hard. I think they're just trying to prove a point or something, and it's not really working, except, you know, on my side, it's not really working. It's not landing as hard.
Yeah, it's not land. They're trying desperately. Now, remember, when we brought up voter ID laws years ago, and I want to say 5-10 years ago, whatever it was, and we brought up the idea of voter ID laws, they were very open about their policy here, which was that minority communities, that poor people and black people, were just too poor and too stupid to know how to get an ID. And now they've expanded that apparently to women, because women are too poor and too stupid to figure out where to get your birth certificate and the documentation that you have to prove that you actually changed your name throughout marriages or divorces or anything else. Like, that apparently is something that we don't do in society when we purchase a vehicle, we apply for a credit card, we put our name on a mortgage, we do anything else in society when we prove that this was my name before, this is my name now, and I prove that based on this documentation. Apparently, when it comes to voting, we're too poor and too stupid to figure it out. And that's literally the argument of the Democrat Party. They're just trying to say it in a little more laxated way of, we don't know how to get our birth certificate. Come on, man. I'm telling you, Donald Trump, during the State of the Union tonight, I really hope he brings up the SAVE Act. He's got to mention this and push it out and call on Democrats and call them out for it. Because right now, Democrats are saying the most derogatory, ridiculous comments about people not being able to keep their identification proper and their forms of documents to prove who they are, when the vast majority of every demographic, men, women, white people, Hispanic people, black people, Republican people, Democrat people. Everybody overwhelmingly says they support the idea of voter IDs. This, according to even the latest report from CNN.
Take a look here. Favor photo ID to vote. 85% of white people favor it. 82% of Latino. 76% of black Americans favor it. So the bottom line is this. Voter ID is not controversial in this country. A photo ID to vote is not controversial in this country. It is not controversial by party, and it is not controversial by race. The vast majority of Americans agree with Nicki Minaj that, in fact, you should have a photo ID to be able to vote.
So, I don't know why they bring up Nicki Minaj. Dylan, when did Nicki Minaj become the beacon of iconic policymaking in this country?
It feels like recently, like not that long ago, but I'm all for it. It's kind of funny.
Between Nicki Minaj and who is the other guy beforehand that just kind of went off the rails? I mean, we look at these weird rappers and celebrities that apparently
they propped
are now
up Kanye.
Kanye West. Yeah, guy that was, you know, the greatest supporter of Donald Trump. And then he went off as in his weird tangent. Now he's apologizing for stuff. Like, we live in a strange timeline right now, and I'm going to stick with that one. But this shows how out of touch Democrats are, not only for the State of the Union tonight, but also for the midterm season going into 2026. We're speculated to lose to Democrats in the House of Representatives when Democrats don't want to pass voter ID law, when 78% of Democrat voters in this country support it, 95% of Republicans support it, along with these demographics of even the identity politics. 85% of whites, 82% of Hispanics, 76% of black individuals support the idea of voter ID, and they're calling it Jim Crow laws 2.0. Donald Trump's got to call that out tonight. He's got to call out that in the State of the Union, and I hope he does, because they are so out of touch with reality. It's kind of funny, but it would be more funny if they weren't actually in charge holding things up in Washington, D.C. Your thoughts on all this, 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. Andy Hoosier sitting in for the great Todd Starnes on the Todd Starnes radio program.
You're invited to pull up a chair on Lisa Harper's Back Porch, where faith meets real life. Welcome to Back Porch Theology. Each episode helps you dive deeper into God's Word and discover that the gospel isn't just good news for eternity. It's great news for everyday life, because God is for you, and He's always been restoring our value and drawing us closer to Him. With honest conversations, a few laughs, and guests ranging from close friends to brilliant theologians, Back Porch Theology is thoughtful, meaningful, and never stuffy. So grab some coffee or sweet tea and join Lisa Harper on Back Porch Theology. Subscribe now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Hey, I want to tell you about our friends over at MyPillow and Mike Lindell. As you know, great partners with us here on the Todd Starnes radio show. And Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to say thank you for your great support over the past year, making 2026 now going to be the best year yet. And as a thank you to the listeners right here on the Todd Starnes radio show, MyPillow is exclusively offering free shipping on your entire order at wholesale pricing. How crazy is that? That means that they're bringing back the mega sale exclusively for listeners for Todd Starnes. For example, here's what you can enjoy. The classic MyPillows, regularly at $49.98, now marked down to only $14.98. Also, turn any mattress into the best mattress with the made in the USA MyPillow My Mattress Topper and save up to $100. Get a set of MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets for as low as $29.98 and the six-pack towels for only $34.98. Those deals are pretty insane. To get the best specials, go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. These offers will not last long, so do it right now. Call 800-839-8506 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS. Again, use the promo code STARNS. All the orders right now will be shipped entirely, absolutely free with our friends over at MyPillow. That's pretty awesome, and we love that very, very much. As we get closer to tonight's State of the Union address, again, this is kind of the pre-show of 2026. More Democrats are speaking out. There was a press conference held just a little while ago by Democrats, some of them advocating to not show up at all. The question is, what is better? Would you rather, is the game we're going to play, would you rather see Democrats show up and protest or not show up at all? Some Democrats say that, well, they don't like Donald Trump, but they'll show up anyways.
I'll just end with this. I would rather stick forks in my eyes than be here tonight to listen to Donald Trump talk about the State of the Union. But this is the people's house, and I will not abandon the people's house.
Wow, she'd rather stick fork in her eyes. Dylan, I didn't know that listening to Donald Trump would make you want to stick fork in your eyes. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah, no, you heard that.
You heard that right. Now, we have heard over the last hour or so that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, according to her people, her spokesperson, I didn't know she had a spokesperson. A little bit more hoity-toity than what we had thought. Thank you, AOC. But now, well, she's on a global stage now. She's running for president in 2028, so of course she's going to have her people. But her spokesperson has said that she will not be attending the State of the Union address. There is a My People's Rally that apparently is going to be going on as an alternative programming during the State of the Union. But other Democrats like this say it's their due diligence to show up and represent their constituents. I will at least commend them for that. We'll see what type of silent protest they'll have going on. All right, lots more coming up for the speculation tonight right here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Stay here.
You're invited to pull up a chair on Lisa Harper's Back Porch, where faith meets real life. Welcome to Back Porch Theology. Each episode helps you dive deeper into God's Word and discover that the gospel isn't just good news for eternity. It's great news for everyday life, because God is for you, and He's always been restoring our value and drawing us closer to Him. With honest conversations, a few laughs, and guests ranging from close friends to brilliant theologians, Back Porch Theology is thoughtful, meaningful, and never stuffy. So grab some coffee or sweet tea and join Lisa Harper on Back Porch Theology. Subscribe now wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, welcome back to it. Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier sitting in on the home stretch here as we have a lot to speculate on for the State of the Union tonight. The bingo cards are set and the sweet tea shots are ready. And we'll have some fun with what we could expect from the State of the Union tonight. Calling out the Supreme Court, calling out Republicans, and the protests going on from the Democrats, where some say they won't even show up because they're going to hold alternative programming from the President of the United States. Because apparently they hate him that much, so they're going to be that divisive on one of the most patriotic State of the Union addresses in the 250th birthday of this nation. Others say, well, I'd hate it, but I'm still going to show up.
I'll just end with this. I would rather stick forks in my eyes than be here tonight to listen to Donald Trump talk about the State of the Union. But this is the people's house, and I will not abandon the people's house.
Well, as long as you stick forks in your eyes, then that would surely stop you from listening to President Donald Trump, because that makes all, that makes all the sense in the world. That shows right there the IQ level of the Democrat Party. All right, 901-260-5926. Let's get your thoughts. What can you expect tonight on the State of the Union? And let's go to Murph, listening there in Germantown on the big KWAM affiliate there. Murph, what's going on, my friend?
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking this call. Thought you might find this interesting. This is a reflection on the current political situation in America. And I quote, "Reformers, some men of very great gifts, great wealth, whose energies are now directed in the United States to no less a task than the destruction or bodily capture of the Democratic Party and the installation in its place of a thorough and unshrinking socialist organization." That's Winston Churchill, 1909.
I like that. And boy, oh boy, are those words truer now than ever before, because
yes,
the socialist movement is not shrinking in any fashion. Now they've essentially hijacked the entire Democrat Party.
Yes, sir. And on the other side of that coin, your previous caller, in his observation about our Republicans, he hit the nail on the head. Whenever there's a crucial issue or a vote, there's always a handful, it seems, that likes to run scared, whereas the loyal opposition, who's now in the minority, they vote A, B, and C no matter what.
Yeah.
And it's astounding. And this poor young lady that was talking about poking forks in her eyes, I don't know how she can look in the mirror after the voters of the United States voted in the first and second worst presidents in the history of this country, and that was former President Obama and his protege, former President Biden.
So,
well, I don't know how she can look herself in the mirror at all after she pokes forks in her eyes. I mean,
well, that's true too. But well, you take care.
Hey, appreciate it, Murph. Thank you very much. Yeah, no, look, it's a great point. And here's the thing. We pride ourselves as Republicans for being wicked, wild, independent thinkers, right? So when people have different opinions, then we don't necessarily get mad at them because we want people to have their own individual thought. We want people to have individual ideas in the party. We don't want the lockstep because you're right. The Democrats, because of the mindset of socialism on the road to communism, their authoritarianism that everybody should believe the same. They're the wicked, wild, independent freedom thinkers and accept everyone and tolerate everyone except as long as you don't disagree with them in some fashion. Then they have their marching orders. They get the, and I told you before, I mean, the DNC, the mainstream media, they have their talking points, and it's verbatim. I mean, it's sad how bad it is when they start talking, because when they get a talking point, everybody says the exact same thing. It's the same trigger word. It's the exact same phrase. And the worst one out of it, to be honest, is Adam Schiff, that new senator out of California that was the House member that led the impeachment of Trump back in the first term. Now he's the senator out there. California, you got to do better, man. I know right now polls show that there's actually a Republican that could be potentially leading the governor's race. That's kind of exciting, but you got to do better. You realize how crazy that place is. Adam Schiff is now the epitome of the puppet for the DNC and for the mainstream media. Watch his videos, because whatever the flavor talking point of the day is, like, he doesn't even change it. He doesn't make it his own. He doesn't make it unique. He literally just regurgitates it word for word, and he thinks that people are just going to go along and bide with it. So they are. They are very much in lockstep. Now, I will say that we're starting to see that civil war. We're starting to see that riff in the party, because right now there are ones that are pulling it further and further and further to the left. You got pretty much a three-way split right now in the Democrat Party. You got the old guard, the Chuck Schumers, the Nancy Pelosi's, the Joe Biden's, those that are, yeah, we're socialists, we're going to do things behind the scenes that way, but we still talk about patriotism, we still talk about being relatable to the constituency. You know, you got Chuck Schumer out there a couple of years ago for the 4th of July, taking the selfie when he has the piece of cheese on the raw burger patty on the grill. I cook burgers just like you. Like, they really try. And they do what they can to be relatable, even though they're not. But they try to say they're generally moving in the same direction as America, while behind the scenes, they do a lot of social policies. The new form of Democrats, which is the AOCs, the Ilhan Omars, the whatever, the radical B squad that's out there, they're openly saying, just like, yeah, no, we're going to be socialist. Like, we're not even trying to hide it. We're just going to be socialist. That's just the way that we are. And that's the way that we're going to move. So now there's this tear of the Democrats, and that's why they've been so inconsistent. That's why they had to take loans out for the DNC just to run the last election, is because they don't have an identity right now, and they try really, really hard. They did the affordability talking point. That dropped off really quickly because they realized you can't talk about affordability when Joe Biden increased inflation 30% over a four-year period cumulatively. It doesn't work that way. So they kind of dropped that one. They're focused on social programs, focusing on social issues in general. And that's not very popular, but that's what they're doing right now. And even other candidates like Gavin Newsom, the wannabe president of 2028 as well, is out there saying that we got to do something different.
No doubt that the Democratic Party needs to be, dare I say, more culturally normal. I believe that. Less prone to spending disproportionate amount of time on pronouns, identity, politics, more focused on tabletop issues, things that really matter, the stacking of stress in terms of electricity bills and child care costs and health care and obviously housing costs, and how easily we get trapped in that, how I've fallen prey to that. I mean, here I was, way out front on marriage equality, so I understand this from both on the receiving end of this.
All right, so yeah, Gavin Newsom, he's trying to sound relatable. He's trying to sound middle of the road. He's really not, but that's, you know, that's his approach, and it's honestly a smart approach. By trying to stay middle of the road, he's not, but the rhetoric for a campaign, that's what he's trying to do. And he's doing a good job of that, at least trying to reach out to people that don't pay attention to anything, that care more about what Kim Kardashian's doing on the Tweety or something. I don't know. The people that care more about drama and reality TV than actually focus on policy and what the records of these people are. He's got the suave hair. And then he talks about, yeah, we got to change policy. So they're in a civil war right now. But overall, Merv, you are right. Like, they are in lockstep and they really just vote down the line. Now, for Republicans, we don't. And we don't always. And that's good and bad, because we don't take marching orders. because we don't want to have marching orders. We don't do that. We're not the authoritarians. We like independent thought. We like people having their own opinions. That being said, at the same time, if you're going to represent a Republican Party, you should probably abide by Republican values. Like, there's actually a Republican platform, and the RNC has it, where every year or every couple of years when we do the reorgs, then you vote for leadership of the Republican National Committee and the RNC and the chair of the RNC and what the party's going to stand for at the national level. And your state parties, your state Republican parties have reorgs every couple of years as well. And at those same times, then you vote on a platform for the party. We stand for this. We stand for this. We oppose this. Which means if you're an elected official representing the party, you should more than likely. So we shouldn't have to browbeat you to vote for something. It should be kind of common sense. SAVE Act and voter ID should be common sense. Why would we oppose that? The Constitution says that you have to be a U.S. citizen before it's let the states kind of mandate how you're going to validate and actually prove that one stipulation in order for you to vote. Many states have gone as far as actually voting on policy to force people not to show an ID when they register to vote. That's kind of a problem because we need to make sure. So federal government's got to stand up and say, hey, this is the one stipulation the Constitution says on voting, so therefore you have to vote on it. So we got to get these Republicans on board. Now, again, I get it. There's different variants. The head of the RNC actually made an interesting comment that, you know, you're never going to get a Ted Cruz elected in Maine and you're never going to get a Susan Collins elected in Texas. Understand that. Totally get it. And during purple districts, when it's a battle every year on whether it's going to be a Republican or a Democrat in these really toss-up seats out there, I would rather have a Republican that votes 60% with me instead of 100%. Totally understand that. At the same time, the basic principles. And Todd talks about it on his program here, and I mention it quite a bit, that to me at least there's three pillars of conservatism: the right to life, the right to liberty, and the right to private property. Period. Those are our principles. Every issue, every flavor of the day can be related down to those three issues. Does it violate someone's right to life and allows you to harm someone? Okay, then I'm not going to support it. Abortion issues, we're not going to support those issues because it violates that right to life. The right for liberty. Can you go about your business and do your thing in society without the government oppressing you in some fashion? If it does that, I'm going to oppose it. And the right to private property. And I don't just mean physical property like your home. I mean your intellectual property. I mean the property that you, when you create something as a business, that is your property. And if we infringe upon that with excessive taxing, if we infringe upon that by the collective or the general welfare, all this other garbage the other side says, what does Zoran Mamdani say? The warmth of collectivism. If that violates my private property, then that's, we do not support that in any fashion. Like, it's very simple. You just got to go back to the basic principles of conservatism. And that's essentially what the Republican Party supports. So, yeah, we don't stand in lockstep. That's good to a degree, but they should want to do it on their own because that's the right thing to do, not for their own personal political agenda. Interesting conversation. Appreciate it. 901-260-5926. Let's take a break. We got one segment left here. Your thoughts on the State of the Union tonight. Will Donald Trump call on Congress to act more harshly to end the filibuster and to pass the SAVE Act? What could that look like also with the foreign policy? What does that mean for the ongoing civil war with the cartels down in Mexico? We want to spend some time on that when we come back around the corner for the Todd Starnes radio program. Stay here.
You're invited to pull up a chair on Lisa Harper's Back Porch, where faith meets real life. Welcome to Back Porch Theology. Each episode helps you dive deeper into God's word and discover that the gospel isn't just good news for eternity. It's great news for everyday life, because God is for you, and he's always been restoring our value and drawing us closer to him. With honest conversations, a few laughs, and guest ranging from close friends to brilliant theologians, Back Porch Theology is thoughtful, meaningful, and never stuffy. So grab some coffee or sweet tea and join Lisa Harper on Back Porch Theology. Subscribe now wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, welcome back to it. We got just a few minutes left here on the Todd Starnes radio program for your pregame show for the State of the Union 2026. We'll get back to that in a moment. Take your phone calls at 901-260-5926. First, I want to tell you about a new romantic comedy that's out there. It's actually funny, uplifting, and safe to enjoy with the entire family. That's hard to find nowadays, and you can do it with Angel Studios, where they've done something really special with the new movie Solo Mio, a film that provides Hollywood that proves that Hollywood can still tell a great love story without the crudeness or the compromise in the content. The movie set in beautiful Italia, and you got to say it that way. With stunning scenery that feels like a breath of fresh air. Kevin James delivering big laughs and the real heart, with Jonathan Roumie bringing the surprise and delightful performance that audiences are going to love. In a world filled with nonstop bad news, it's refreshing to just sit down and watch a movie that leaves you smiling. It's wholesome entertainment that you can feel good about and enjoy supporting as well. Right now, when you become a premium member of the Angel Guild, you'll receive 2 free tickets to go see Solo Mio in theaters that came out on February 6th. Grab your spouse, grab your sweetheart, or grab your entire family, and let's support the stories that help celebrate humor, hope, and love. Go to angel.com/starns, angel.com/starns, to sign up and get your tickets today. All right, 901-260-5926. If you want to jump on here for just a moment in the last few minutes that we have, one of the things probably more than likely going to be addressed at the State of the Union tonight is, of course, the ongoing issue, the civil war that we're seeing really down in Mexico with the cartels. And if you've been living under a rock and don't know what's going on, we've seen one of the heads of a cartel, along with his son, be killed by the Mexican government. Now, you can speculate on why that one and what's going on, but it was one of the largest cartels in the nation. The intel was provided by U.S. intelligence, and now we see this craziness. And they're targeting U.S. citizens. They're targeting touristy areas. They were shooting up the airport in Guadalajara. Like, this is insane to watch some of this lash out, and it should be a reminder for us of, number one, why immigration policy and protecting us from this type of behavior is so important here in the United States, because it is our neighbor. It is just south of us here. But also on the Second Amendment issue, right? I mean, we wouldn't be allowed to allow cartels to run rampant that way because we have firearms. If the citizens of Mexico actually had firearms, they'd be able to actually protect themselves. Because right now, the Mexican cartels have military-grade weapons, armored vehicles, quote-unquote, assault rifles. I mean, they are just as armored up as what the actual military is in the nation of Mexico, and it's been going on for a very long time. But imagine this, and this goes into the speech for President Donald Trump tonight. As he talks about the 250th birthday, as he talks about patriotism, he talks about keeping America safe and the America First agenda. While this is technically foreign policy, this is our next door neighbor. And while we're focusing on the Western Hemisphere right now, just imagine as we are boiling this insanity up to the surface of society and they're all lashing out. We've been able to arrest Nicolas Maduro. We've put pressure on Cuba after they tried to taunt us and be like, oh, you're not going to do that to us. Like, what do? We cut them off. And now they're struggling even more so than already before with no power and no food. And they're struggling down there in Cuba because they think that they want to put up a wall and fight against the United States because it's a rage against communism. Now we have the cartels that are finally lashing out after intel from the U.S. for President Sheinbaum, who's the president of Mexico, that originally said that they're not going to start issues with the cartels. Probably because she's paid off on them. I mean, there was, what, 30 people that ran for president and 20 of them died? Yeah, you know that she's probably handpicked by at least one of the cartels in some fashion. But now the Trump administration, signing an executive order just over a year ago now, has said that the cartels are now international terrorist organizations. In putting pressure not just on places like Venezuela, not putting pressure on places like the Dominican Republic or Cuba or other areas, but putting pressure on Mexico and just saying, we're not going to deal with this anymore. It's on our border. We're getting human trafficking, gun trafficking, fentanyl trafficking, drug trafficking, and we're not going to tolerate this kind of behavior any longer, and finally put pressure on them to do something about it. And now it's opened up the can of worms. And in fact, I've been reading a lot of posts on social media that Democrats are really angry. The people wouldn't be dying if Donald Trump didn't tell Mexico to do this. But at the same time, what would you rather have? Would you rather have this done to where we could actually cleanse or rid ourselves of insane cartels? Or would you rather just allow them to keep doing their thing? The beheadings, the murders. Why do you think there are so many Hispanics and Mexicans that try to come to the United States? For those that don't know, the radio station I work at here, we have a Spanish station that's actually right below the studio that I'm at right now. Both of the people that work there have their green cards, and they came here from the United States. Their family came here from Mexico because they were getting away from the cartels. That's the population that's been so excited for Donald Trump to close down the border because they don't want what happened in Mexico to happen here in the United States. And it's about time we start addressing this. And Donald Trump, I know, is going to mention it. I don't know how much of an involvement that he's going to have or that he's going to call to have. President Sheinbaum in Mexico has said that if the United States places military in Mexico, that having U.S. soldiers on their soil would be a declaration of war. That was her statement a year ago. But now that things are going on, that tone may have changed just a little bit. And can you imagine the success and the wins that Donald Trump's going to have when he says, we got rid of a cartel member in Venezuela with Maduro, we're putting pressure on Cuba and their communism's going to collapse, and we're getting rid of the cartels in Mexico to make our hemisphere safe and to make America safe with our people that are neighbors around us. If we start getting rid of that stuff, can you imagine the wins Donald Trump's going to have? Again, most productive administration that we've seen in the past century, and I'm excited for it. I will be back again tomorrow to recap your State of the Union. Until then, enjoy your game for the State of the Union tonight. We'll be back here on the radio for the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We'll see you then. Bye.
Invited to pull up a chair on Lisa Harper's Back Porch, where faith meets real life. Welcome to Back Porch Theology. Each episode helps you dive deeper into God's Word and discover that the gospel isn't just good news for eternity. It's great news for everyday life, because God is for you, and He's always been restoring our value and drawing us closer to Him. With honest conversations, a few laughs, and guests ranging from close friends to brilliant theologians, Back Porch Theology is thoughtful, meaningful, and never stuffy. So grab some coffee or sweet tea and join Lisa Harper on Back Porch Theology. Subscribe now wherever you listen to podcasts.